Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
How did one local physician turn to medicine as a career? Let's go in depth with Dr. John Canis with the Pella Regional Health Center. Dr. Canis, when did you realize you wanted to be a doctor?
Well, in high school and even sometimes elementary school, you get assigned things to do that have to do with career choices. So you get forced into thinking about it. And I actually did a career paper, I think, in high school on becoming a biology teacher because I really was enamored with Dick Vandalon, who just passed away. And I really thought he was a wonderful teacher. And I loved biology. So kind of was leaning towards the science aspect. And then I would say I admired my father, but I also saw how much time he needed to devote to medicine. So it's like, and then it's not easy to get into medical school, but when I had talked to my dad, he was like, you don't have to be that smart, you just have to work really hard. So it's like, well, I can do that. So, but I think the rubber hit the road when after high school. Then you just don't start college pre-med and not be definitely committed to working hard and making the grade. So needed to decide then. So there were a lot of things that went into it. You know, you're natural inclination towards science, your legacy, you know, what sort of service you want to provide mankind and most of all serve God. So I think all those things went into it.
And your father was an influence, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of a running joke. We say in the family is that we don't have any original thoughts. It's like, what shall I do? Oh, I'll be a doctor, I guess. And what shall I name my son? Oh, Stuart. That sounds good. Because my dad was Stuart Frederick. They named me Stuart John. I named my son Stuart Douglas. And guess what he named his son? Stuart Zebulon.
Okay.
So we all go by our middle names except my dad was, you know, Stuart Canis.
And your son, Doug, is a doctor, too.
Yeah, he's in internal medicine here in town.
So that's a lot of pressure on your grandson, then.
Yeah, he doesn't seem too perturbed or considering it pressure at this point. He did, you know, like I mentioned, this career choice thing. He did a career paper. I think they actually had a stand in front of their paper and poster dressed up like who they were going to be. So there he was in a white coat saying he was going to become an internal medicine physician in, you know, sixth or seventh grade. They had to do that. So it was interesting that he was, you know, pushed into thinking about it, and he chose that for that point in his life. But who of us, when we're in junior high, know exactly what we're going to become or want to be?
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dr. John Canis with the Pella Regional Health Center. What is it about science that is so special to you?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's just the way I'm created or wired. I have a interest that goes that way. I mean, I do enjoy reading, and I enjoy biology particularly, and the sciences. I did enjoy, you know, a lot of other aspects too, literature and drama, that kind of thing. But that's a very good question. Why do we find ourselves attracted more to one aspect? I would say I could name things that kind of repelled me, and that would be philosophy. I didn't like philosophy at all, particularly when I was going to a Christian college and we had to learn all these philosophies that seemed like they were anathema. I mean, why learn something that's wrong? So, but, you know, as you mature, you realize, you know, knowing your enemy is very important. Or knowing the other side of the equation. So,
being a good doctor to me requires quite a bit of empathy and understanding of humanity and the human condition. And it seems that that comes natural to you, that you feel akin to people, that you feel you have a natural kind of relationship with them. Not every doctor I've met has that kind of natural empathy or understanding of the human condition. Do you think there's something to that?
Well, I hope that's true. I think that some people are definitely born or blessed with more empathy than others. My father always said, you need to listen to the patient, really listen. And 9 times out of 10, they'll tell you what's wrong with them before you even do the exam. And that was important in med school, and that was you know, taught us in med school too. Although I remember one of the professors, we were having kind of a group session, and he was like, well, what's the most important thing for a doctor? And so everybody was like throwing things out, like, you know, be empathetic, or, you know, be a good listener and all that. And he said, well, those are all important. But first thing is, you better know your practice. You better know what you're doing. You better, you know, have a good education, because you can be very empathetic and prescribe the wrong treatment. And that's no good. So you have to know your stuff and be empathetic. Mm-hmm. And a good listener. Lots of other things.
It seems that doctors are busier than ever now. Is it tough? It's like, I don't know, years ago it seemed that there wasn't so much computer work, there wasn't as much insurance companies pressing you for time, things like that. Has that impacted your practice?
Every generation has its difficulties or new things to learn. I think for people my age, the computer stuff can be difficult at times. Back when I first started, you know, you were considered to be, as family practice, general practice, you were the jack of all trades, you know. You covered the ER, you covered the nursing home, you were on call, whether you were at home or at work. So, but it's different strokes for different places too. I mean, the larger cities had ER physicians, you know, back in the 1980s and before. But rural Iowa, we didn't have that luxury. But now we do have more specialties and coverage that way. But like you said, insurance companies, I always say the tail is wagging the dog now. It used to be that the dog would wag its tail. The doctor would say, well, we need this. Tell insurance. No, now you ask insurance, please, and hope that you can get that approved for the patient.
More in depth after this. continued my conversation with Dr. John Canis with the Pella Regional Health Center. Is it harder or easier that here in a smaller community, you know a lot of your patients, where like in the big city, you know, probably 99.999% of the time, doctors don't know anybody in their community that they're practicing with? It has to be both good and bad parts of that.
Yeah, I'd say that's definitely true. The anonymity in a large community, you know, can be advantageous. But the familiarity and the small town atmosphere in that is very attractive to many people. You know, Dr. Van Zee, who is partner with my dad, he grew up in Pella, just on a farm east of town, and came back and practiced, 40 years here. He's still living, by the way, in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Do you have any advice for people thinking about going to medical school? And then advice for the young physician.
Yeah, I think the things we talked about, you know, first of all, you got to know your stuff. You got to do well in school. You got to learn the biology, physics, every aspect, and learn to the best of your ability. And then, depending on what aspect of medicine you're going into, you have to be empathetic, I think, to be the best you can be a good communicator, that kind of thing. I think you can go into research and never have much exposure to patients, and we certainly need research doctors, so there's nothing against them. And some people are more comfortable with a face-to-face with patients and being empathetic naturally. So hope that answered your question.
Sure. Is every day about the same? Or are there really good days? Are there days when you just go home thinking, I did a great job, that there was something different? You bring comfort to people every day. You save lives, maybe not every day, but often. But you bring comfort, and you do it day in and day out. Are there certain moments that are different than others?
Yes, I would say there's different aspects to your day as a physician. I'm not as active in family practice as I once was, so it might be better directing that question to someone who's real active. But you can have average day where you might start at the time you'd like, say 8 o'clock, and get home at the time you'd like, 5 o'clock. But most days, no, that doesn't happen. And the day may be very fulfilling with birth of a normal, healthy child you delivered, and everything went perfect. But you can have tragic days, and you can have days where everything's happening at once. You know, accident, death, or a newborn that was born not doing well, conveying sad news to people. So it can be all over the spectrum, and everybody needs something, whether it's, you know, for a sore throat, cold, or, you know, comfort in depression or grieving. There's a lot to do for a family practice, internist, general medicine, and the range is very wide, so you're never quite sure what to expect that day.
So how do you handle all that emotion?
Well, sometimes I think you don't handle it as good as you want it to. I mean, I've had my partners over the years, you know, breaking down, crying, or getting so stressed that their heart goes out of rhythm. and then the doctor becomes the patient, and you end up in the ER getting your heart shocked or medication or taking time off because you just, you know, have overextended. So you have to take care of yourself too. I think there's sometimes a tendency in students to skip meals when they're in training, and that's not good. There's nothing worse than the student fainting in the surgery. That didn't help anybody. So we would joke that one of the first rules of medicine is you must eat. But I think having a good spiritual basis, a good relationship with your God is very important. And that's one thing my dad taught me too early in my practice. He said to me one time, he was on the way to the hospital in the middle of the night, tearing down Main Street, going faster than he should with lights blinking and honking the horn at every intersection. He thought, wait a minute, who's in control? You know, is it all up to me? And he just said, you know, God's in control, and I need to, you know, slow down, be careful, do things rationally and correctly, and just remember that. And I thought, well, that's good advice. You know, there's nothing good going to come out of, you know, having an accident on the way to the hospital to save somebody's life. So.
Thanks to Dr. John Canis for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.